This is idea number 36. Pitches are the same, pattern is the same as the preceding one. Crossbar is different. And I made a note in the notebook of all the knobs, or most of the knobs. Here are the notes one at a time.
Do you have any idea who this is?
Here is the slow performance of the attacks.
Is this from a box set?
Yeah, it's Raymond Scott. Raymond Scott, an early electronic music pioneer.
Well, before that, he was a great jazz performer who wrote music that, you know, sounded like great cartoon music.
Well, in fact, it was used in the Bugs Bunny cartoons. It was featured in those, and that's what most people knew him as. But he lived from 1908. He was born in 1908. He died in 1994. But there's this new box set called Three Willow Park, Electronic Music from Inner Space, and it's 61 previously unreleased cuts by Raymond Scott, and it has all this voiceover in it where he's making audio notes to himself.
To himself, right?
And it came out the end of June, and it keeps popping up randomly in my playlist.
He would like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what made me think of this, but the music that I think I played more than any other when my son was growing up was the early big bandy music of Raymond Scott.
Yeah.
And didn't know anything about his electronic career until later, and was blown away by it. And the massive synths, there were walls.
Yeah, right.
There were
entire cables
rooms
that he's plugging in and routing different. Yeah. It's awesome. Pretty incredible stuff. Well, I'm actually not going to. I wanted to play this just the opening, sort of as a quick aside to let people know this cool thing is out there. But I thought it was appropriate because a lot of the stuff we're playing today, some could say maybe wouldn't even exist if it weren't for pioneers like him. There's lots of interesting ear candy and sonic exploration in some of the stuff we're playing today.
I'm going to write up this this one that I just had here. Now I'm going to call it number 36. I guess it's the first slow one I made up, it seems to be.
Anyway, if I can get it started with the music of Ian Chang.
Do that.
Ian Chang. Ian Chang, he is undoubtedly one of the greatest drummers on the planet. We know him from his work with Sun Lux. He plays with Landlady. They were just here for a Tiny Desk concert. And Ian Chang has his debut solo EP coming out later this summer. I guess I would call it an electronic album, but he's a drummer, right? And he made this music by taking samples and then triggering those samples by hitting drums. So he hits a drum, and the way it's not just hitting a drum, but the way he hits a drum that makes the sound take different shapes.
Which part of
the
pad, which part?
Right. It's called Sensory Percussion is the name of the system he uses. It's by a company called Sunhouse. So what you're about to hear are sounds that were made with a bunch of guitar samples. So he took guitar samples, recorded them, and then he triggered them by hitting a drum. And this song is called ASMR, which stands for Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. And I'll just say it is that chill that you get sometimes. It seems to come out of nowhere and runs up and down your spine. Oh, that tingly feeling. ASMR, Ian Chang.
Thank you.
So cool.
Yeah, really sonic adventure. You'd never, ever know it was drumming.
Yeah, drumming. He's hitting drums to make those sounds. The original guitar sounds were made by a friend of Ian Chain's, Ben Brody, is the guitarist. And this is what Ian has to say about him. He says he has a knack for creating otherworldly sounds using different effects and techniques. And then Ian goes on to say, I like the idea of using the physicality of drumming to create ambient music, because I like how convoluted processes can lead to surprising results. It's sort of like, you know, he does a lot of music with Ryan Lott and Sun Lux. That's like Ryan Lott's MO too. He likes to make it as complicated as possible because the most interesting things come out of this. But then anyway, Ian goes on to say, I suggest listening to this one with headphones on and eyes closed. Extra bonus if you can get a massage at the same time. It's a relaxing listen until intrigue dances with fear towards the end, which is that growling noise at the end of it. The EP is called Spiritual Leader. That song was ASMR from Ian Chang. You know, I said that it's that tingly feeling, that ASMR is that tingly feeling you get up and down your spine. No scientific explanation for it exists, but it can be triggered by like fingers on a chalkboard, but also by the sounds of like people whispering or pulling cotton balls apart. Hmm. I mean, there are all kinds of weird cotton balls apart
is creepy.
That it's something in that texture or something that makes people's shoulders rise up to their ears and they get that tingly feeling. I talked about earlier about how we have lots of interesting sounds on this week's show, and I heard a lot of those interesting sounds in an artist named Common Holly, who I didn't know until Marissa LaRusso of NPR Music told us about her, and she's here now.
Yeah, hi. I had never heard of her before I heard this song that I brought you guys, and I just think she's fascinating. She's a songwriter from Montreal, and she kind of takes folk songs and makes them really dark and then does all of these composition and production things that you would never expect in the song and takes them to really weird places, which I totally love. And in this song that I brought, which is called If After All, her voice in the beginning kind of sounds like Mira or Feist or someone like that. And then by the end, it's just got this like hard rock and roll edge on it that I totally love. So let's listen.
One day, one, let's take this one day at a time. No more assumptions, I have no reason. Let's take this one day at a time. No more oblivion, I have no reason. I won't remember if after all.
Love that.
I love that too. Yeah. So the woman behind this project, her name is Brigitte Nagar, and she said about this song that compositionally and lyrically, If After All flirts with a range of feeling. It is tired, coy, frustrated, and then resigned. My faulty memory is one of the things that plagues me most. It is no metaphor when I sing, I will always forget. The truth is that as hard as I try to learn from my demons, it seems that I am destined to fall into old habits, or at least this was my experience as a younger adult self in a serious and long-term relationship faced with the realest and harshest version of me.
So much of music I was thinking as I was listening to this is not just about the production, but about arrangements. I mean, it was the same song throughout. She just kept switching up the instrumentation throughout. Like, I was listening to the Beatles' Strawberry Fields on the way into work this morning, I thought. Just the genius behind how that was arranged. Sometimes the main melody and background music is all played on just trumpets or just guitar or just piano. And it's just really brilliant arrangement in that piece from Common Holly.
Did you say there's an album? Or?
Yeah, there's an album called Playing House that comes out September 4th.
Yikes, that's great. I'm excited.
Thanks, Marissa.
Thank you.
Thank you. I have an artist from up there, you know, like... Canada way. Her name is, well, the band that she goes by is called Weather Station, and the Weather Station is the music of Tamara Lindemann. This is a fourth record. I've seen her before. It's been a long while. I really have liked her music, but this one is very electric, much more so than what I've heard before. Her voice has something in common with another, and I'm sure she's tired of hearing this, but another famous Canadian, a little Joni Mitchell in this voice. I'm going to play a song called 30. And it's about being 30, and I'll come back and tell you a little bit more about it in a moment.
I was surprised that you touched me like that. But there in your hand was a current of life I could hardly stand. A state still that I didn't imagine. If I did, I'd have made some joke of it. It was strange how I could feel so sane, so plain when you're around. And unbidden to me, there it rose, the fantasy, colored rose and easy. Yeah, I could see it so simple, unsubtle, impossible, clearly and strange. As close as a mountain range on the horizon, driving all day. There I was, so sane, so plain after everything. Gas came down from about 20, the joke was hell. It broke the economy, anyhow. The dollar was down.
Hear the Joni Mitchell in the higher range.
No
higher
kidding,
register,
yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the Weather Station. And there's a new record, a fourth record coming out in October 6th, self-titled. Tamara's told me about the song that for women, 30 is a number you're taught to fear. When you're 25, you picture it like falling off the edge of a cliff into some amorphous, bisected destiny. One path being children and suburbia, and the other some sort of cartoonish loneliness.
Oh, jeez.
Tamara goes on. She says, I was 30. My parents had just gotten divorced. My friends were having kids. And I was touring Europe in a station wagon. And I was incredibly happy, losing my mind, she says, over Swedish rest stops. I'm not sure what that means.
And oh, they're the best.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And laughing in parking lots with my friends. I wrote this song about that precise moment. Joy balanced on the cusp of despair.
Wow.
Anyway, this is a really great. The whole album is so great. I can't wait for everybody to hear it. Weather Station's name of the project.
I was thinking I knew it when you said it, and then I realized I was thinking of Weather Report.
Yeah,
I don't really know Weather Station at all.
But. Speaking of weather, I got this note from Josh Ritter, who's been working on a new record, and he said to me that everything that he started writing when he was working on his new record, the images of impending storms kept appearing and reappearing. And Josh is an author, but he's also a songwriter, as we know, and a singer, and been making music for 20 years. but he's also a painter. And even in his paintings, they were all like clouds on the horizon, dark clouds coming.
And impending doom.
Impending doom. And so he wrote this essay, sent it to me, and I said, you have to just tell people this. This is for anyone who makes and creates, this is a good thing for them to hear. So I'm going to play an essay that Josh Ritter wrote and then in his voice tells us. And then I'm going to play a song from a new record that's coming out from him in the fall. The album's called Gathering. And I'm going to play a song right after the essay that's called Showboat.
I had that feeling you get when the sky is suddenly dark before a summer storm. The thunderheads looming at the edge of the fields. The birds quiet. The smell of the gathering electricity in the atmosphere and the certainty of lightning. This record is the product of a strange and interesting time. When I started writing Gathering, I felt tired of living in the shadow of my earlier self, my earlier work. But more than discouraged, I felt charged with the possibility and the freedom of cutting myself loose from my own and others' expectations. I began with an exciting sense of dissatisfaction, and what emerged as I began to find my voice was a record full of storms. Some, like Feels Like Lightning or Friend of Mine, are physical storms. Others, like Dreams, are interior ones. Listening to these songs now, I hear uncertainty, mania, laughter, and sadness all vying for their place on the album. I was surprised by the new voice. I can't tell what era these stories are from. They feel part roustabout, part psalm to me. The narrator of Showboat is outsized, a big talker who carries deep inner uncertainties and struggles to keep a strong front against the world raging around him. Like all of us at some point in our lives, he forces himself to laugh through real darkness, whether alone or among others. In quieter moments, like on Strangers or Thunderbolts Goodnight or Train Go By, the vulnerability of the character shines through the cracks of their exterior bluster. As I worked, I also found myself painting again in a serious way. The landscapes that emerged followed the same preoccupations with gathering storms that are in evidence on the songs. When it came time for recording, I had more songs than I've ever had at one time. Rather than picking through them in advance, I opted to record everything I had over the course of 2 weeks. The goal was to put down a ton of stuff and think about it later. Trina Shoemaker, my band, and I headed for the studio. After the whirlwind of recording had subsided, I was left with a pile of about 30 songs. I spent the next couple months sifting through them in order to decide which ones best hung together to form the record. We did backing vocals and horns in some other studios in Nashville and North Carolina. I asked Bob Weir to sing on When Will I Be Changed. We had written his record Blue Mountain together, and working with him was deeply influential to my writing during this time. I've been writing records for almost 20 years now. Each one has been different from the last in subject and form, but with Gathering I feel like I've found a new kind of electric dissatisfaction. A new way to rejoice as the storm rolls in.
Every time it rains, it pours. I pray it rains just a little more on me. Cause I'm the guy who never cries, and I gotta keep my reputation clean. And here's a helpful tip to rain, administered in raindrops may help to hide the tears a little more. Which is why a guy who never cries looks up at the sky with hopeful eyes, hoping when it finally rains, it pours. I'm just a showboat. Won't catch me crying, no. Won't catch me showing any hurt. I'm just a showboat. Pretending I can stay afloat. Pretending I'm not sinking over her. Time the sun goes down, I pray the sunlight takes the sound as well. Cause I'm the guy who never cries, and I gotta keep the pain all to myself. No light to see me shaking, no sound to hear me breaking, no sound to hear the teardrops hit the floor. Which is why a guy who never cries stays up all night with hopeful eyes, hoping when it finally rains it pours. I'm just a showboat. Won't catch me crying, no. Won't catch me showing any hurt.
pretending I can stay afloat, pretending I'm not sinking over her.
Sure doesn't sound like he was seeing nothing but doom and gloom around him.
Music much more upbeat, yeah. Than you'd expect from the essay, but there it was. Josh Ritter, the song is called Showboat. He's got a new record coming out called Gathering, and you can look at his artwork and hear that essay again, or read his essay.
If reading's your thing.
Yeah, God, I don't know why, when you can listen.
Yeah. I prefer to read myself. Yeah. That's why I do a podcast.
Yes, right.
Yeah, we should take a short break.
Great, because we got coming back with more new music that our intern, Jenna's going to bring us. You ready for this?
No.
Oh, not you. You better be ready for this.
We're all doomed here.
And Tom Heisig is going to bring us some music. And
I'm going to, but first, when we come back, I'm going to play a song by a band that you and I love very much and we haven't heard from in many, many years.
Hmm.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Red Bull Radio, the place to tune in and discover great music that's new to you. Whether it's the latest dance hall out of Kingston, techno from Berlin, underground hip-hop, or old soul gems, you'll know what you were looking for when you hear it. Listen at redbullradio.com for music handpicked by influential artists, journalists, and DJs, plus in-depth interviews and live performances from festivals around the globe. Support for this NPR podcast and the following message also come from Bonefish Grill. Whether you're dining on peak-of-season wood-grilled fresh fish, the one and only Bang Bang Shrimp, or enjoying a handcrafted martini, you're sure to catch an experience unlike any other. From the moment you walk through the door to the moment you leave, every detail will be taken care of with their one-of-a-kind angler service. Come experience the difference and see what's fresh at Bonefish Grill tonight.
Okay, so I've got a Whatever Happened To band, right? Flotation Toy Warning.
Yes.
Do you remember them?
Absolutely.
This is a band from London back in 2004. They put out a debut full-length record. They were a new discovery for us. We completely fell in love with them. They were on our best of the year lists. And they had this really curious sound. I would call it steampunk sound. You know the steampunk? And it's just this surreal mix of sort of old and new elements that feel out of place in both worlds, right? And then they just completely disappeared after that record. I mean, that was it. And all these years, I've been thinking, I wonder whatever happened to that band. You know, I wonder if their songs would pop up. Well, after 13 years, they are back with a follow-up record this spring. It is called The Machine That Made Us. I want to play a song called A Season Underground, and we'll talk a little bit more about it and this band Flotation Toy Warning when we come out of this.
Yay.
A Season Underground. So happy to have them back.
Words and I eat them when I need them.
Oh, that's good.
Flotation Toy Warning. Season Underground is the name of the song from the record The Machine That Made Us. I'm not sure what happened to this band, why they disappeared. But I reached out to them for a little more info about this song, and the lead singer and songwriter, Paul Carter, wrote me. And he alluded to...
He told you about the alien abduction, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, it sounds like a band that would have been taken away totally. By... or and then redeposited back here on Earth 13 years later. He alluded to some sort of falling out that the band had. He says, and I'm quoting him here, he says, "When I started writing the song, we were still all licking our wounds and trying to repair our damaged friendships after finishing The Bluffer's Guide to the Flight Deck," which was the name of the previous record. "And we hadn't really seen that much of each other. I was feeling quite subdued and slightly melancholy when I finally wrote the lyrics," but this is the usually the case. "They're about a failed relationship and are written from the woman's point of view. As an older person, she's looking back on her youth and all the hopes and aspirations she had and the power of the love she felt. The man she loved went to sea and never returned," so there are many nautical phrases mostly referring to different parts of an old sailing ship, which is interesting to note because this is a band I remember when they put out that debut record 13 years ago that it was full of all these fictional tales. You know, like even their bio that they posted or released was full of all these, I don't want to say fake names, you know, but fictional names and characters that they whose identities they'd assumed and real fanciful stories. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so excited when I found that that they were coming back. The Machine That Made Us, it's already out in the UK, but out here in the States on October 13th.
Wow, well, you guys are all talking about things before I was born 13 years ago.
Oh, my God. That would be illegal to have an intern under a 12-year-old.
Ixnay on the age here.
Taxing, no social security card. I'm sure that'd violate several child labor laws.
But you were likely 10.
Perhaps,
yeah,
yes.
Perhaps. That's Jenna Lee, our intern. So what are you going to tell us about?
You've kept
quiet all these times in the studio, taking notes. And
just copying down word for word everything you say and learning. Well, actually, I'm here to share the first available cut off an album I've been waiting for actually for years now. This is the first full-length record put out by Moses Sumney, who's a musician raised in California and Ghana, and his new album is called Aromanticism.
Spell it.
Aromanticism, which is A-R-O.
Oh, one word.
M-A-N-T-I-C-I-S-M. Did I win the spelling bee?
Like asexual, but aromantic. Oh. Aromanticism,
okay.
Maybe?
Yeah.
I'm with that. I mean, at least the spelling of it.
So this the first song, it came out at the end of June. It's called Doomed, and something I really love about it is that it has what I think Moses Sumney is really good at. It's pared down super, super simple instrumentation and vocals that become very heavy with meaning. And he has a beautiful, rich voice, and you hear these tiny cracks sort of suggesting the fragility of human life.
Let's hear it.
With inverted tongue, from whence does fulfillment come? And I expel from this mortal shell, we're at death for living love. Stoics are friends.
I assume that slides into the next track on this album,
which is called Aromanticism. They say this piece is sort of the thesis statement of the album, and it's him discussing aromanticism as a concept and asking that question: if my heart is idle, am I still vital? And it's asking about different social connections and questioning connection between people.
The first time I saw Moses Sumney was in a church in Iceland about 3 years ago, and I had no idea who he was. I just went, and that voice was so stunning. He did all the electronics himself. There wasn't much, but he looped and it did all of that on
his own. He's known for doing work with electric guitar, and on this new album he'll be doing some collaboration. The piece we just heard, he has synths by Matthew Otto, who's also the producer for the album. So he's going to be collaborating with some other artists. And he's actually known for collaborating with some bigger names. He put out a collaboration with Solange recently. He's toured with Sufjan. He's worked with members of Grizzly Bear. He's also worked with Chance the Rapper. So he's kind of all over the board with who he's been working with.
Well, I'm excited. We talked about, he and I talked about him doing a Tiny Desk years ago, and he said the essence of which is, when I put on my first record, we'll probably make that happen. So we're ready for you.
Get busy.
And that was Doomed, which is the first available cut off Moses Sumney's new album, Aromanticism, which is out September 22nd.
Perfect. Thank you. So Waiting in the Wings. Thank you, Jenna Lee.
One more piece of really beautiful music before we close out the show.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Robin.
Oh, hi, Tom.
Oh, hi.
You guys sit next to each other. You guys bored of each other?
Because,
Robin, you can always move back toward and sit next to me.
No, you know, I come in earlier than everyone else in the entire department, but sometimes...
And we all ruin your day one by one
yeah,
by
I'm
coming
like,
in.
Ugh. But sometimes Tom Heisinger, NPR's classical music editor, comes in before me and will always have some lovely piece of music playing. And he'll always say, do you want me to turn it up? Am I bothering you? And I'm like, nope, turn it up. It's all you always have. Just excellent taste, Tom.
And what's lovely today, Tom?
Well, this is lovely music from a band whose members have never met.
Oh,
I guess only this could only happen in the 21st century, right? The band is called From the Mouth of the Sun, and it's two dudes, Aaron Martin, who lives in the States, and Dag Rosenqvist, who lives in Sweden, and they must just, you know, pass their music back and forth. They have a record that's coming out in September that's called Hymn Binding.
H-Y or H-I?
H-Y. H-Y-M and Binding, yes. And I think for the listeners, if you guys are into Max Richter, Olafur Arnolds, Nils Fromm, this great dude from...
Check.
From Poland called Jacek.
Yeah. You're checking all the boxes.
Right. You're gonna really like this because it's...
No, it's Polish, not Czech.
What a groaner. That is such a groaner.
Like those other guys, this band... does a really great job of seamlessly blending like acoustic instruments and electronic instruments in a way that you don't really know where one begins and the other ends or whatever. So there's pump organ and piano and cello and things like that in this music. I was thinking if this were the 1980s, we'd probably call this music New Age. I know that's a dirty word these days, but it's just really great music that takes you to another place. And there was some very great music that came out of the New Age scene. The title of the tune really says a lot. It's called Light Blooms in Hollow Space. And it begins with this kind of seesawing, simple piano figure. Then a pump organ folds in. And then all of a sudden this bloom happens kind of out of the blue with its own really kind of heart-aching melody. And then this kind of plaintive cello softly takes us home all within the space of 3 minutes.
The record, the whole album is just stunning.
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
it's
really
beautiful.
It was a beautiful
record.
Sunday morning record for me this past Sunday. So we're going to go out on this, right, Robin?
Yep.
All right. Take a deep breath, everybody. Thank you, Tom Heisinger.
Thank you, guys.
Well, you're not going to thank me.
Oh.
I've been sitting here the whole time. I'm doing my job.
God, thanks, Robin.
You're working really hard.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Robin.
I'm going to really lean into this one, listening to this song when I hit play here.
I already had my shoes off.
Yeah.
The group is called From the Mouth of the Sun, and the track is called Light Blooms in Hollow Space.
Thanks, everybody. For NPR Music, it's All Songs Considered.